Hey scientists, how critical is pure water to you? In this new podcast, Lab Water Stories Unfiltered, we at Millipore Sigma look closer at this often overlooked lab essential. Tune in as experts drop tips and insights not found in textbooks, taken from their work with MilliQ Lab Water Solutions. Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Millipore Sigma is the US and Canada life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany.
Green Scene on The Pat Kenny Show. Sponsored by ESB. Working towards a brighter energy future. ESB.ie.
So, to tell us why satellites may soon be counting walruses and how one woman in Canada had a lucky escape from a meteorite in her bed, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Ruth, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Good to be back.
Now, satellites watching walruses, why?
Well, maybe I can hark back to this summer, Pat, when many of us became quite familiar with Wally the walrus, who visited our shores. He caught the eye of the locals in Cork and Kerry here in Ireland before heading over to the UK, actually to northern Spain, and then he came back to Waterford. And in fact, Spain is possibly the furthest south a walrus has ever been spotted, so it was pretty unusual to see him there. And after no sightings for 22 days, he was then spotted back in Iceland quite recently, hopefully still doing okay and relatively healthy even after his ordeal.
So he's moving very fast. That's one thing that emerges from this kind of information.
He's moving very fast. And of course, he's in different levels of condition because he's coming across, I suppose, things that he wouldn't normally encounter in his habitat up in the Arctic. But this is a trend we're seeing more of now. We're seeing animals displaced. So we've seen Arctic seals around our coasts that aren't normally here. And in fact, we're seeing sharks moving up from warmer areas as our waters possibly warm a bit. So this change that we're seeing, although it's really interesting and it's been fun for us to watch Wally's journey, you know, this is a concerning thing that we're seeing. And I suppose that's where the satellite comes in. Because much of what we know about Wally is really an example of citizen science. So again, when people saw Wally, they took pictures of him with their phone, they uploaded them to the internet. And in fact, through those sightings and people sharing information, experts were able to build that understanding of where he was going, as you said, the speed he was traveling, and also his health, because they had really good images of him over and over again. So they were able to track, was he losing weight? Had he been hurt by a boat? All of those things. So actually, the citizens getting involved in watching Wally gave us a really good understanding of what was happening with him.
Now, the World Wildlife Fund is going to be watching walruses like Wally, but from something of a remove.
Yes, exactly. I don't know if they were inspired by Wally, but the World Wildlife Fund and the British Antarctic Survey are launching a project this week called Walrus from Space. Walruses, as we saw, they're transient animals. They move around and they often live in very remote areas. So using satellite images is now the new way that we are going to try and look at these animals. And in fact, it's been used before. It's been used to look at elephants in Africa and seabird populations. But walruses are particularly complicated because of these remote areas. And there's also still quite a lot of them. So the World Wildlife Fund is going to need help. And they're trying to recruit 500,000 volunteers who are going to sift through these hundreds of thousands of satellite images and count the walruses and see where they are. So really what they're looking for are walrus detectives, and they will train you if you want to become a walrus detective, and you'll have to do a quiz to make sure you're good at counting walruses. But apart from that, you can sign up and you can become a walrus detective with the World Wildlife Fund.
So why is this so important?
Well, I mean, as we can hear from our discussion about Wally, you know, we want to know what's going on with these species. Anyone who saw the Our Planet species or a series on Netflix would have seen some distressing images of walruses falling from cliffs, because these animals rely on sea ice to rest, and that's where they give birth to their young. So as we're seeing decreasing amounts of sea ice in the summer, obviously they're having challenges. They're having to get up onto the land. They're maybe being forced to swim further to look for food. And all of these things are impacting on their health and their ability to breed. These animals usually feed on shellfish and actually a sort of one of the side effects of climate change is that we're seeing more acid in our oceans. The oceans are becoming more acidic. And exactly like the Burren here in Ireland, which is made of calcium carbonate and which is dissolved by acid, exactly the shells of the animals that they feed on are damaged by more acidic seas. So those species aren't doing so well either. And of course, that impacts the walrus. So all of this information that the public can get involved in collecting will help us and help the World Wildlife Fund see how climate change is affecting walruses and hopefully help us design some interventions so that we can help.
So how do people become walrus detectives?
Well, it's very easy. They can get onto the World Wildlife Fund website. They can get trained up and they just sign up. And I think it's really important because often, you know, we can feel really overwhelmed by all of the negative stories we hear about damage to biodiversity and climate change. So this is a really great project where we can all, you know, if you're interested, you can do something practical, get involved, sign up and count some horses.
Now, we often use the expression sleeping safe in our beds, but there's one woman in Canada and the bed was the least safe place she could have been.
It certainly was. This poor woman, Ruth Hamilton, who lives in British Columbia, earlier this month she was sleeping and a large rock landed in her bed. And I know, Pat, this is the green scene and we're mostly going to talk about the environment and this planet. But I actually think it's good that we also think about space sometimes because, you know, it gives us a good sense of our place in the universe. And I think it reminds us how special Earth is as a planet for us to live. So that's my excuse for talking about space. And also because this is such a fascinating story. This poor woman jumped out of bed, turned on the light and saw this grey rock that weighed over a kilo lying right beside her pillows, right next to where her head had been. And in fact, it had come through the roof of her house. And she thought maybe there was construction going on outside. But it transpired it was in fact a meteorite. And this is an incredibly rare occurrence, someone being that close to a meteorite actually hitting the Earth.
So this rock came through her roof, landed on her pillow. I don't know whether it was still warm or cold or what shape it was in, but it potentially, is it valuable from either a monetary or a scientific point of view?
Well, it is going to get studied, and so she is going to pass it on to scientists in one of the universities in Canada for further analysis. But actually, I mean, thousands of meteorites hit the Earth every year, and they do, you do find them on eBay, so obviously some people are interested in paying for them. But most of them just go unnoticed. And in fact, I was surprised. In the 20th century, only two meteorites have been found in Ireland. And funnily, this is much less than we would expect. We would sort of expect that we would see more bits of space coming down in places where humans live.
And given the speed they travel at, they can do a hell of a lot of damage, even if they're only the size of your fist. So many reports of meteorites doing dangerous things to people.
Well, luckily, and this is maybe where we can all breathe a sigh of relief that our beds are actually relatively safe. There's no recorded example of someone actually being killed by a meteorite. A few people have been bruised and they've certainly hit cars, but actually those pieces of falling rock are possibly not even the most dangerous thing about meteor impacts. And there's one example now, a very large asteroid, which was probably the size of a six-story building. So it was huge. The Chelyabinsk meteor, that landed on Earth over Russia in 2013. But in fact, it was the shockwave of that huge piece of rock breaking apart that did injure people because of falling debris from buildings and flying glass. But the chances of a meteor hitting us in our bed at night is really, really small. So we shouldn't worry too much.
That is very reassuring. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland, thank you very much for joining us on The Green Scene.
Thanks, Pat.
Hey, scientists, how critical is pure water to you? In this new podcast, Lab Water Stories Unfiltered, we at Millipore Sigma look closer at this often overlooked lab essential. Tune in as experts drop tips and insights not found in textbooks, taken from their work with MilliQ Lab Water Solutions. Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Millipore Sigma is the U.S. and Canada life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany.